Blog Talk Radio.
Radio on the air usually every Monday from 7:30 to 9 p.m., but with the late-breaking edition of Real Sports Talk Radio this Friday night, 10 p.m., on a beautiful Friday night, July 11th. And it's a beautiful Friday night because if you're an NBA fan, the NBA free agency, I think, officially got started today with the announcement that LeBron James will be heading back to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So he went from the most hated man in the NBA to the most beloved member of the NBA. Mm-hmm. With that being said, my name is Randy Zillia. My name, as always, Randy PSP on Twitter. And my co-host, my partner in crime, the one and only, the evildoer himself, Michael Tramatazzi, is with me. Michael, good evening. How are you, my friend?
I don't know if... I guess I'll take that as a compliment. I guess the evildoer... Sure, why not?
And
I like how you can't load Sports Illustrated's website right now, by the way.
Just imagine if the story would have broke. I honestly think the story should have broke on LeBronJames.com, because then you can really, really start selling ad space on there. Listen, around 12 p.m. today, Sports Illustrated, who I've known for the last couple days, what's been going on here with LeBron James. Now, with knowing that, I'm surprised the story did not leak more than it did, because, there was a lot of rumblings, like, people are 85% sure, 90% sure. Chris Broussard, who I told you off-air for the longest time that I believe everything he says. Broussard, Stephen A. Smith, and Adrian Wojnarowski, those are my three guys. Those three guys are saying something, I believe them, And I also have sources in other places, that I listen to, but those guys are usually the guys. And when they say that this is it. So the story broke today around 12 noon. LeBron James leaving the Miami Heat, going back to Cleveland Cavaliers. My initial reaction was, thank God this part of it is over. So, Mike, I'll start this with you. Let's rewind to 2010 for a minute. Did you ever think that we would see LeBron James back in the Cleveland Cavalier uniform?
No, because I don't think you've ever seen that before. So to me, there was no basis to go off of it with. Patrick Ewing left the Knicks and never came back. Tom Seaver left the Mets and never came back. But I guess there's a first time for everything, but no, I don't think anybody could have at the time said, okay, when his contract's up, or he'll just come back. I don't think anybody would have thought that, because we've never really seen it before. I'm sure there's been others, but the only one I can think of is when Tino Martinez came back to the Yankees in 05, and, outside of getting a plaque in Monument Park, no one really cares about Tino Martinez, so... there was no Sports Illustrated essay for Tino Martinez coming back. But no, I don't. Anybody who tells you they saw it coming 4 years ago is a liar.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, let's call a spade a spade. Everybody was sitting there saying, after the letter that Dan Gilbert wrote back in 2010, after he wrote that letter, there was no way that LeBron would ever come back. But LeBron is sort of forgetting here. Everyone's sort of forgetting here. There is a reason why Dan Gilbert wrote that letter. I think in 2010, there was a lot of frustration between both sides. I know we're going to be right now, we're just rehashing. But there was a lot of bad feelings on both sides here that caused for that divorce. LeBron going on television, not telling any of the teams, or there's a big debate on whether he really let them know that it was over. And now, you know, fast forward, no one felt we would ever get back here. There was a lot of wrong, but the fact of the matter is LeBron James sat down with Dion Gilbert one-on-one last week in Miami. They patched things up. Now let's look forward to the future here a little bit, Mike. We know how we got here. And now let's take a look. Let's you and I get on the crystal ball and see. For both these teams, the Miami Heat and the Cleveland Cavaliers, start with Cleveland. Does this make the Cleveland Cavaliers the number one team in the Eastern Conference?
I was actually asked this question earlier by a friend of mine, and I'm not 100% sure that the East has a dominant team in it. I think what LeBron going to Cleveland has done is leveled out the landscape. I think there's a number of teams, depending on what happens here in the next couple days or so, depending on how this continues to shake out, could lay claim to being the best team in the East. I think right now they're the best of the lot. But, you know, if Carmelo Anthony stays with the Knicks and they're able to add another piece, say they do get, for hypotheticals, let's say they do get Pau Gasol, would that put the Knicks in the discussion for best team in the conference? Because I don't want to sit here and just say because Cleveland got LeBron back that they're the best team in the East, because it's still a team that won 35 games last year. So obviously LeBron is an improvement and will help them get to the playoffs, but they still have to figure out how to do it. And there's no guarantee that they will figure it out. You know, how is Irving going to mesh with this? How is Wiggins going to mesh with this? Waiters. You know, I think Varejão and Tristan Thompson are going to be just fine doing the dirty work and getting double-doubles every night because that's what they do. But we don't know how this is going to play out. But right now, judging the landscape of the Eastern Conference, yeah, I think they're the best of the lot, but I don't know if they're a lock to get to the finals, especially in year one.
No, I agree. By the way, if you want to join in on the conversation, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846 is the call line. We're going to take callers tonight. We and I usually are not big fans of taking callers, but we don't have a guest tonight, so we're just going to sort of just go on with this. You know, just a quick backstory for everybody who's listening. We were deciding on whether we were going to go on all week, and we're like, well, we want to go on when there's something really to talk about. Otherwise, it's just in speculation and baseball. And we both
didn't
want
me to. Nobody wants me to sit on here and just read Twitter for an hour. It would not have ended well.
No, that would have been very ugly.
No,
with that being
it would
said,
have been. Oh, the teams for Birdman Anderson are. That would have been it for an hour.
Yeah.
By the way, Heat, Cavs, Mavs, and Rockets seem to be the four leading teams for the Birdman. By the way.
Yeah, thank you. You know, thank you for letting me know on that. I was very concerned. with that being
back to your regular scheduled programming.
Back to your 8 hours of baseball talk.
Back to my 24 hours of why is Carmelo Anthony doing this to me?
Yeah. Well, we'll get to Anthony in a minute. I want to go on to the other story today. I sort of feel bad for the Houston Rockets because they sort of struck out here. Everybody thought that they wouldn't strike out, and they did.
Well, how bad does Houston feel right now? I mean, they just traded Lynn and Oshik to clear all this cap space to get a max player, offered it to Bosch, and he apparently turned his back on them at the 24th hour, just decided to go back to Miami. They're in trouble right now because they're worse than they are now. I mean, do you really want to match that offer to Parsons now to be the third banana? I mean, are we sure he's the third banana even?
He played well last year, but it was a very, very weird type of franchise, a weird type of team in the way that team is set up. I'm not thrilled with the move. I don't know really what Bosch was thinking. I really don't know what Bosch was thinking. I'm really being honest with you about it. I didn't like the move that Bosch made. staying there. I didn't.
Help
me out here with
this. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It was, to me, it was a clear money. It was a money issue. He got the full max
yeah.
of the Heat, and that's what he did. Now, obviously, Wade's going to be back. Haslam will be back. They bring back Lou, if they get a guy like a Luol Deng or an Ariza. To me, that makes them a playoff team. But I think they would have to play well over their heads, and Wade would have to rediscover the Fountain of Youth, or discover it. I don't think he ever found it in the first place to rediscover it. I think he would need to find that that Fountain of Youth there and get back to the Dwayne Wade he was. If that doesn't happen, I think this team caps out at a 5 or 6 seed, personally. And that's with adding a guy like a Deng or an Ariza. Which is still a step down from what they had starting at the small forward position last year in LeBron, but still good players that have won and been in the playoffs multiple times in their careers. Ariza's won a championship. But, yeah, to me, Bosch and Houston made a lot of sense. And now if you're Houston, those poison pill contracts look bad because you had to trade assets to get rid of them when you thought, oh, we've outsmarted everybody with these poison pill contracts. They came around and bit you in the behind now to where you had to give your first-round pick next year away to the Lakers just to take Jeremy Lin's contract. And you signed Dwight Howard. It makes Amir Oshik. There's no reason for him. He didn't want to play the four. He didn't want to be a backup. So that's a struggle. So you don't get Bosch, which fits. Now what do you do? You're clearly out of the Carmelo race because he doesn't want to go to Houston. They're too far down the road there. They can't jump in and make an offer because I don't see any way that he wants to go to Houston. Regardless, I think we've spoke about this, regardless of what Dwight Howard says about the brand of Melo's brand, not disintegrating and falling in Houston, but it will. It's Houston.
Well, here's my take on this. From a basketball decision, Bosch playing next to Dwight Howard would have made the most sense. And having Chandler Parsons, you know, they would have matched the deal. Now you have some decisions to make about Chandler Parsons. But, you know, I look at this.
If you don't match that deal to Parsons, if they don't match the deal of Parsons, are they even a playoff team in the Western Conference next year?
No, they'll be a playoff team. They're not going to be as exciting as they were.
But are we positive that because they were what? They were a 4 seed last year?
Yeah, they were a 4 seed last year.
That was with Parsons, with Lin, with Oshik. If all three of those go away and you don't add some kind of player around it that's a marquee player, I'm not sure they are. I'm really not. I think Phoenix is good. Golden State is good. Minnesota was right there. These are all teams that if they continue to play well, I don't know if Houston's roster with Terrence Jones at the four is a 50-plus win roster. And as we saw, 49 didn't get you into the Western Conference playoffs last year.
Here's the other part of it, and I think this is the part you do agree with. We both feel that Bosch made a really bad decision, but you're not turning away $118 million, and that's the truth of the matter. He was on the fence. He was really on the fence about what he was going to do, where he was going to go. And then when he came back out and said $118 million, because, look, LeBron's not staying here. We're not giving, we don't have to give him the max. We can give you more money than the $12 million we originally wanted you to take. Now, here's the tough part now for Chris Bosh. You went from competing to go for the NBA Finals every single year. Now you're going to be fighting for your life to get out of that first and second round. Now it's like, Dwayne Wade is still not a pushover player. His talent is deteriorating a little bit. This is now really going to be Chris Bosh's team. And the part of
it is. I'm interested to see what plan with option A Bosh is, because option A Bosh, no one wants to remember in Toronto, was a 20-8 guy So this is his, you're right, this is his team. Now, it'd be interesting, it's interesting to see what happens next with Carmelo, if it's intertwined at all. Does Bosch getting a 5-year max deal, does that mean that you can pretty much kiss any discount of Carmelo Anthony goodbye?
Well, here's the one part that everyone seems to have forgotten, and I saw it, and I think I mentioned it to you. The kicker of this whole entire thing, obviously Miami's not going to be in the tank. They're going to be they'll be in the playoffs, they'll be able to oversee in the playoffs. But their draft pick this year goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the LeBron James trade from 2010. Now, the real question
I think they still have the 20. They have the 2017 pick, too.
I think they do. I think it was 4 picks. Now, here's the interesting part now. Does Cleveland make a trade with Miami to give LeBron the max, you know, an extra year on the contract?
I believe I read somewhere that he was getting a 4-year max deal from Cleveland, so I don't think they would.
Okay, so you have another 4 years, and he's at the age of 29, so you're looking at 33 years old. So we might go through all this again in 4 more years. but that's something that, you know, wasn't really talked about at all. I find the whole thing to be fascinating. And in the middle of all this, Carmelo Anthony is just sitting there observing. Stephen A. Smith and other sources reported that Carmelo was waiting to see what LeBron was going to do because he was holding off hope to see if he can play with LeBron James, and that went down the toilet. I think that at this point, Carmelo Anthony has ruled out the 2 Texas teams. He's ruled out Phoenix, and he's ruled out L.A. It's now down between the Knicks and the Bulls. If you want my honest opinion, and I know you and I disagree with this because you're a Knicks fan, so you're thinking from a Knicks perspective, and that's fine. I'm looking at it from a very different perspective. I'm looking from an overall league, from a basketball standpoint. I think Carmelo Anthony is serious about winning a championship. He needs to go to the Chicago Bulls. And I'll tell you my reasoning why for that. And I know we can talk about the money, we can talk about the deals and the signs and trades and the amnesties, everything that has to get done to get Carmelo the money. But from a basketball perspective, if you're Carmelo Anthony, you have Jerry Reinsdorf and Tom Thibodeau able to go there and say, look, if you come to us now, LeBron just left Miami. This opened up the whole Eastern Conference, and we're going to have this team for the next 3 or 4 years. We're going to have Noah. We're going to have Derrick Rose as healthy as he can be. But we won 47 games without Derrick Rose last year with Jimmy Butler, Noah, and the team that we had here. So you know what your team's going to be for the next 3 or 4 years, and we're going to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Jackson can't promise that because he's got a lot of, okay, well, we're going to have cap space next year, so we're hopefully going to go out and get people. Now, if you're trying to sell me and you want to win a championship, money is very, very important, but Carmelo's been chasing the money his whole entire career. Now would be the time for him to step out from that and say, listen, winning does mean more to me. I can help lead the legendary Chicago Bulls team back to glory and win a championship. Now, that would drive every Knicks fan in America crazy if that happens, because the Bulls would beat out the Knicks again, and there would be no MJ to doing it this time. But I think from a pure basketball perspective, I think – the Bulls is a better decision for the reasons I just said. There's no guarantee that there's people who are going to want to clamor to New York. Because the top free agents of 2015, if you look at that list, may not even make it to free agency. Okay, Kevin Love, if Cleveland gets creative here and is able to draw Kevin Love in, he'll never make it over to free agency. LaMarcus Aldridge has made it clear he has no interest in making it a free agency. He wants to finish his career in Portland. Kevin Durant will make free agency, but I doubt at the end of the day he's going to want to leave the Oklahoma City Thunder for everything that franchise has done with him. Now, do I think Oklahoma City, they started to get a little stale with the Westbrook and Durant connection? That's another topic for another time, but I do think that there is some truth to that as well. So with that being said, if you take Durant, Love, and Aldridge out of the
equation. Are you telling me that if you're a Knicks fan, you're going to get excited about Marc Gasol? You know what I mean? Like, so if you're Carmelo Anthony, you have to look at it from that perspective. Okay, I can go to the Knicks and take the let's see what happens attitude, but hey, I'm getting paid. Or you take the attitude of, I know what I have here in Chicago. I can play with Gibson, Butler, Noah, and hopefully Derrick Rose. Let's make this happen.
See, but so, the thing is with Carmelo Anthony, Carmelo also has to wager on the fact that you're probably not playing with all those guys in Chicago, because the only way to get your money, unless you physically take $30 million, $40 million, $50 million less, and it pretty much is $40 million. I think it was, what, 4 years, $86 million was the most they could give him that they could work around. You're taking a lot of money off the table. So to get
right.
some semblance of fair market value, I would venture that some of those guys won't be here. Obviously, I don't think Boozer will be there because he has to be amnestied or moved to get his contract off the books. And the thing that's interesting about it is that Jerry Reinsdorf has made it clear that he doesn't want to pay the luxury tax.
Well, here's
so
here's
what
the
does
deal.
That mean? Well, what does that mean for Jimmy Butler, who's in the final year of his deal and is ready to be a restricted free agent? If they sign Carmelo Anthony, they can't. They're probably not going to want to sign Jimmy Butler and go into the cap and be a taxpayer to keep Jimmy Butler. So then Jimmy Butler's got to be put into a deal. Do you keep Doug McDermott, who's on a rookie scale, or do you ship him as part of a deal? Do you bring? They're trying to bring Mrotić over. Does he go in a deal or does he stay? There's a lot of fluid parts of the Bulls here. If he commits to the Bulls, I don't see it being, I'm committing to you straight up for whatever you could give me. It's, I'm coming to you. You figure out how to make this work and what you need to do to get me to this number. Is that number $100 million? Is that number $95 million? I think you can only get a max of $495 from them anyway. So how do they get to that extra $20 million?
Well, here's what I've been told by some beat writers in the league and some other people. I got it as they're trying to make a deal with Boozer's $16 million. Then they have Dunleavy's $3 million that you're going to have to lose. So they're going to work on doing something like that. Then you have the pay scale of McDermott. McDermott's going to have to get moved in that deal.
Because he hasn't even signed his rookie deal yet.
Well, they're holding
off
on
really
signing his rookie.
Which is really messing with me in the trade machine, by the way. There's too many people with zero salaries that it's not working.
Well, I'm laughing that you're actually playing around with the trade machine. I think you and I could do about a whole hour
it.
Show.
I almost got it. Today. I almost got it close. I got it to within like $3 million having to be lopped off the money the Knicks were taking on. I almost had it. And that's with Carmelo having a zero salary on the trade machine, which was ridiculous.
You realize I can do a 45-minute show on just how ridiculous it is that you're doing the trade machine.
Are you kidding? I could do a 45-minute show on the trade machine.
One other thing with Carmelo before we start moving on a little bit here. I'm going to go on to the ESPN trade machine right now as we speak.
But it's not going to work because Carmelo's got a zero salary. The one problem I have with the trade machine is they don't put your cap hold as your salary if you're a free agent, which is what they should do if you're trying to work sign and trades. It's what they do on SportsCenter when they have the big fancy machine that Tom Penn's moving around and poking and spreading things and pushing buttons and things are flying around. He's using their cap hold numbers. So why can't your trade machine do that, ESPN? I want answers. No one's giving me answers on any of this stuff in free agency. Someone's got to give me an answer to something.
Okay. Here's the two things on here you're forgetting. Okay. Here we go. The two parts you're forgetting. Trade exceptions. Luol Deng and Marcus Teague, that can go in a deal.
Yes. I think that factors out to, what, like $3 million or something?
Yes. And yeah, the list looking, they have Heinrich off the books, DJ Augustine off the books. You know, you can't, you know, there's a lot of things you can't do here. And they have Carmelo off the books here too.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to do. You have to let them actually make a deal before you can make a fake trade.
Yeah, that's why we're going to go Carmelo Anthony, just to annoy you since you're a Knicks fan, for McDermott, Augustine, and Kirk Heinrich.
Now, as we've mentioned, and we've talked about this, and yeah, because it's all zeros. But here's the thing I've wondered, and I believe you told me that my thoughts are correct here, that because the Knicks are over, if they're signing and trading Anthony, technically that's okay, because as of right now they're under the apron, so they can create a sign and trade, and since Anthony would be off the books, it's not like they have to take back equal salary. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how trades always have to be within $100,000 if you're over the tax?
Yes.
I don't think that has to happen with the Knicks being where they are right now, I believe. I could be totally wrong. There's so many little intricacies. Where's Larry Kuhn?
Where is Larry Kuhn?
Where is Larry Kuhn? I want to know where he is. He's hanging out in L.A. somewhere. But why hasn't someone asked him these questions?
With that being said, too, I have to bring up the point of the fact that, let's talk about these New York Knicks for a second. The New York Knicks are in a tough situation. Let's say they lose Carmelo Anthony. As a Knicks fan, that would drive you crazy. As a Nets fan, for me, I'd be laughing for hours on end. And you would just hate me for that, wouldn't you? I think that the Knicks right now, I think they should go into 2015 with a clean slate. I think the love for each other is over between the Knicks and Carmelo Anthony. I know Phil is trying to make it work. I know they're trying to do some different things. It's just, to me, I still think it's a bad mix.
The one thing that's interesting about it is he's known what the Knicks deal is for not just weeks, months. Everybody knew what the Knicks could offer you. 5 for $129, everybody knew it. That's the maximum offer. So once you got all these other offers from the other teams and what the Bulls offer is and compared it, you knew what the Knicks were offering you. You knew you could go back to the Knicks and say, okay, let's do 5 for $120 or 5 for $118. Something like, but you knew what the total number offer could be. Why is this taking so long? To me, that means that either he's really actually torn about it, or there is something going on here, and Phil is being coy about it, and obviously Carmelo's being silent. That's what I think. Just by the fact that it continues to drag on. You know what I'm saying?
That's the part that everyone's having a really hard time with. Is if he was so big on New York and he was so dedicated to New York, why is this still going on? And that's, I understand not doing it today because today's LeBron's day. I get it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. To me, if you love the Knicks and you love playing in New York, then it's an easy answer. Then Chicago would have had to have blown you away with a huge offer to get you to consider that. The fact that this has continued for days and days and days, and the Bulls were out of it, now magically they're back in it. maybe they were never actually out of it and the talks of the Lakers were wrong. But the Bulls were out of it for a couple days, according to people. Now, as of yesterday, the Bulls are back in it, and now the Bulls are a legitimate threat, possibly, to the Knicks to get Carmelo. But to me, you knew, if you're Carmelo, you knew all these things on Tuesday, July 1st, when you did your free agency tour. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I was right. July 1st was a Tuesday. So you knew all this. When you left there, you left Chicago to go to Dallas or to go to Houston. You knew everything the Bulls could do. The Bulls, I'm sure, in that nine-hour time frame, were basically telling you, here's what we can do here. Here's option A, B, C, and D. So if that's the case, you knew everything. Now you already know what the Knicks did. Just to hammer things out, the Knicks show up in L.A. on Thursday and say, again, here's what we're willing to give you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That was a week and a day ago. So in 8 days, we've basically gotten nowhere. So for me, I find it kind of difficult. I can understand maybe taking the long weekend like everybody originally thought, you know, 4th of July weekend, let me think of it over and come Monday make a decision, or Tuesday, let me think it over for the weekend. That's how long it should have taken. But now we're moving, like I said, past a week, and tomorrow's going to be 9 days. To me, I just don't know if it should have taken 9 days to decide to come back to the Knicks. What has changed with the Knicks' offer? They've said nothing has changed, or that there's been nothing. They've pretty much decided that they can't trade Stoudemire because they don't want to give up Shumpert, and they can't trade Bargnani because they don't want to give up Hardaway, moves that I agree with not doing. Because I think those guys are important. But then you know what this roster is. And I'm sure Phyllis said, hey, listen, if you come back, we're going to try and do this, this, and this. But to me, I just don't know why it has taken this long, unless he's legitimately talking to the Bulls. And perhaps they're doing things behind closed doors. You know, Phil has a decent relationship, I believe, with Reinsdorf still. John Paxson was a former player of his. I'm sure they're cordial to each other. Remember, the trade with the Mavericks didn't come out. You didn't get wind of that until an hour before it was basically completed. So Phil's already shown you the fact that he keeps things very tight to the vest until they're pretty much complete. Is this another one of those situations? Is he constructing a sign-and-trade with the Bulls, and they're just trying to hammer out the details for the last couple of days? And his press conference the other day was more of just keeping up a facade of not giving any hints to the talks? Who knows? We don't know. Nobody knows. But the fact that everyone has been so quiet about it for this long a time, to me, I don't know if you are coming back to the Knicks, why it's taken these many days, because you knew – not even on July 1st, you knew on April 30th what the Knicks offer was going to be.
As we speak, I'm getting ready to pull up the list of free agents, the free agent diaries that a lot of these sites have. The top five free agents. By the way, kudos to Chris Sheridan of Sheridan Hoops coming out and boldly predicting, saying he had a source that the Cleveland Cavaliers were going to land LeBron James. Kudos to Chris and his sources to doing it. And they were able to do it.
True. Yeah, Chris,
go ahead.
Like he said, so according to Stephen A., he said just now in SportsCenter that Melo is really struggling to make a decision between New York and Chicago, and also that according to his sources in the organization, they are absolutely not interested in facilitating a sign-and-trade.
Yeah, and Stephen A., I've never met a more passionate Knicks fan than Stephen A. Smith. And he really wants Carmelo.
So that leads me to believe that are they going to call his bluff?
Yeah, they're going to call his bluff. This is how Phil does it. Here's the update for LeBron James. The decision has been made. He's now heading over to Cleveland. This site is the only news outlet to report James returning to Cleveland. We stand by our story. He was under question from Colin Cowherd of ESPN. He confirmed the return back to earlier today, obviously, we found out. All right, here's the latest with Carmelo Anthony. Lots of outlets running with the Bulls as a prime contender, which is strange because they cannot make Anthony a max offer. Even if they amnesty Carlos Luzer and trade Mike Dunleavy, they will not have enough money. July 11th update, they are out of the mix. Number three, are you ready? Let's shift gears here. Let's name some free agents and what you think. This update has not happened. They haven't had an update on this player since July 8th. Greg Monroe of the Detroit Pistons. He is a restricted free agent. I think anybody who tries to make an offer to Monroe, the offer will get matched. I don't think there's anything happening there. Your thoughts on that one real quick.
Well, I don't think you're going to see a lot of these restricted guys get offers until we figure out where the big-name guys are going.
Okay.
You know,
no, that's fair.
Does Houston go after Monroe if they don't get Anthony and they don't match the offer to Parsons? I don't know. They kind of don't mix him and Howard. They're kind of the same type of player, very to-the-basket oriented.
They're very rigid players. Very rigid.
Very. Very. Howard's become a very rigid player in the last couple of years of his career. You're not going to see these guys, the Bledsoes and the Parsons and the Monroes and stuff. They're not going to be getting anything going until you get with these big name guys are done. They're firmly entrenched in the second tier.
Well, here's a name, obviously Kyle Lowry taking off the market, which were I think very good. Very happy that Toronto got him. I didn't want to see him end up in Miami. Number five is Lance Stephenson. Now, this one's turning into me a very.
He's another guy. That's another guy.
Yeah, you know, both have expressed interest, according to Alex Kennedy, a Basketball Insider. The Indianapolis Stars say Pacers could move Louis Scola to free more money for Lance. I think that'd be a mistake. I like Scola's game for them. Stevenson's going to be an interesting situation. The next guy on our list, dude, this is the one where I think you might see him in Cleveland sooner or later, and that's Eric Bledsoe. He's a restricted free guard from the Phoenix Suns. Never felt like he really got into it there. The Bucks are pitching an offer sheet, according to ESPN. They definitely want to try and get him in there. I don't see him back in Phoenix this year, do you?
I actually think that that's a pretty interesting combination spot for Bledsoe if he goes there, because Parker and Adetokounmpo, obviously. You still have John Henson, who's a decent player coming along, and Brandon Knight. That's not a bad core, and Bledsoe has that unique ability, and so does Brandon Knight in a way, although he's better as a point guard that people give him credit for, to play the one and the two. You can kind of play him the two in a small guard, quick backcourt, or he can be your backup point, starting shooting guard type of thing. You can move Knight over to the two for extended periods of time. That would be an interesting team. That would be an interesting team to watch. You know, they still have Ilyasova. Obviously, Kidd there as coach, as a point guard, can maybe show and teach Bledsoe how to be a better point guard, because he's still a little rigid with that. He's almost like a shooting guard stuck in a point guard's body, but he's getting better at it. I think the way he played in Phoenix last year as the main scoring option / secondary ball handler really showed you where he can blossom as a player.
Well, now let's move past Bledsoe. I think Bledsoe is going to end up being matched by Phoenix, and Phoenix is going to trade him at a later point. Next up is Pau Gasol. I think Gasol not going back to the Lakers is a huge
transition period for the rest of Lakerland. Like, now the Lakers are going to have a whole new team. They just got Jeremy Lin. They still have Steve Nash under contract. They need to get some bigs. They have a nice draft pick this from this year. Gasol now moves on. Team's in the mix. Obviously, Miami is no longer in the mix for Powell. You have the Bulls, the Spurs, even the Oklahoma City Thunder. I personally, before I ask you where you like to see Gasol, I would love to see him with OKC. I think he's exactly what they need to play off of Kendrick Perkins and Serge Ibaka. I think those guys, this would be a perfect fit for Pau Gasol.
I agree. Also, Woj actually just said Pau Gasol could find his way to Chicago, but it's not likely to be in a sign-in trade for Boozer. So you have that.
Yes, we have that. Now, the next two, one's off the market, and the other one looks like he's all pretty much staying where he is. Dirk Nowitzki, obviously, I recently re-signed with Dallas, and now we have the situation with Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, I don't think Dwayne Wade's going anywhere.
No, and I saw Ira Winderman said that they're basically here it is. Windhorst actually said it too. Heat on track to get deals with Wade and Haslam done. They're talking with Luol Deng, but sides are far apart.
That doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Obviously, Chris Bosh staying still in Miami, which we discussed earlier. Luol Deng is getting a lot of interest. Both Hawks and Mavs look like to be natural landing places for Deng.
Real quickly, by the way. Since we can't go a day without this, or a show without this, LeBron James is Hulk Hogan. Super babyface, heel turn, back to a babyface.
Well, yeah, and there's something I want to bring up about LeBron in a minute. I just want to go over these last couple
mentioned that it was like Hogan going back to the red and yellow.
Yeah, he's wearing. I remember how many times we've heard the announcers say when the Heat were wearing those all black uniforms that they're wearing their NWO colors, the black and white. But real quick, Gortat was taken off the market early. Utah is going to match Gordon Hayward and his deal. Isaiah Thomas just taken off the market. Chandler Parsons will have 3 days to match. They have until Sunday to match it. Sean Livingston, who had a great season with Brooklyn, off the market. Adrius Vasquez, off the market. He went back to Toronto. Waiting on Trevor Ariza, Chris Anderson. Still waiting on that one as well. Okay, you said something about very interesting there about LeBron James being like Hulk Hogan, going back to the black and white, red and yellow. The one thing that's very, very interesting is I'm waiting to see, I honestly felt that as soon as LeBron went to Miami, he stopped having fun.
It looked like he struggled with that.
Like the first year when he lost to Dallas in the finals, he was playing the role of the villain. He admitted he was playing the role of the villain. And he struggled with it. Then, yes, he won some championships. Yes, they accomplished a lot. But like he even said in his letter, he was on a mission. He was there to get a championship, but he wasn't having fun. I hope now that he's back in Cleveland, we are going to see the fun LeBron James, the one who takes the powder and throws it in the air when he goes to the scorer's table, the guy who takes make-believe pictures of him and his teammates on the sideline.
Uh-huh.
I think the pressure of winning a championship is now off him because he's got it. Now he wants to be a leader on a team and lead a young squad through the playoffs and seeing if he can do it. And hopefully we'll see the smile on LeBron James' face. I think this past season, he didn't want to log all those minutes. It wore on him that he was carrying another franchise, especially megastars with him like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. So now he knows he's going back.
Yeah.
He's going to be the man for 2 or 3 years, but he's going to raise Kyrie Irving. The one great thing about him going to Miami is he learned how to become a leader and a champion. Now he gets to show it in Cleveland. That's my opinion.
So
I agree.
Yeah, there's not much else to say about that.
No,
Mike, we're gonna be back. We're gonna be back on Monday, right? I mean, not Monday.
Yes.
We're gonna be back on Wednesday. We're gonna be back on our normal times on Wednesday. In the beginning of the show, did I say Monday nights or Wednesday?
You said Mondays in the beginning.
I apologize to everyone who's listening right now. I'm an idiot. And I don't take being an idiot lightly. I'm proud to be an idiot.
Wear a badge.
So that being said, you and I wanted to come on and say our piece about how we felt about LeBron and everything else like that. I think that piece has been said, and I think we discussed free agency pretty well. Wednesday night we're going to be back, and I think we have some big things going on this week. Can't do it yet. You can't rush those types of things.
No, I mean, clearly, the last week of my life has been spent waiting on people.
And you're not even a waiter or a waitress.
And I'm not even a waiter.
Well,
I'm definitely not a waitress.
I'm going to scour through Twitter for a second. Adrian Wojnarowski just reported Pau Gasol can find his way to Chicago, but it's unlikely to be a sign and trade for Carlos Boozer, league sources tell Yahoo. Okay, so that's I said okay, OKC. I really like OKC's chances. So we'll see.
I don't know how the Bulls are going to do it. So I don't know how the Bulls could be another team that if they strike out completely here and Gasol goes to Oklahoma City and Carmelo goes back to the Knicks, they could be in trouble as well.
I don't know. Here's an interesting
subplot here. Think about this for a second. Carmelo resigns with the Knicks. Gasol goes to Oklahoma City. Do the Knicks reengage the Sixers with the interest of turning that money into Bledsoe?
I don't know if you're a Knicks fan, if it's acceptable to you after everything we see what's moving on and with all the moves and everything else that's going on, everything that's been happening, I'm not sure Bledsoe would say, okay, well, we didn't get A or B, so we're going to go with letter C.
No, I agree.
I don't believe that's a constant.
But I just think that, to me, I don't know. I would think getting the money, playing in the market, being the guy in the backcourt, basically, you'd still have an incredible glut of guards. That's why I still think moves are going to be made to kind of even out this roster. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that if Carmelo comes back, they bring a guy in like Bledsoe or attempt to. Because if you strike out with Gasol, you obviously have to have some semblance of getting Carmelo Anthony to believe that you have any plan.
I want to bring on Ryan Stern. He hosts Beyond the Benches every Sunday morning with us. He was nice enough to join us for a few minutes. Ryan, good evening. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm doing better than the Miami Heat fans who are going to be in for quite a shock when they realize how cold Cleveland is in the winter.
Listen, I saw the picture of the Sun Sentinel tomorrow morning's Sun Sentinel down in Miami, and it says Lagan. I think I've never seen a player make a decision to leave and be the most hated man on the planet for 4 years. In the basketball world for 4 years, and see fans want to see a team fail 4 years, then with one decision of going back to the team he was drafted to, become the most beloved man in the sport yet again. So I find that to be the most interesting. And this question posts out to both of you, because I think both of you guys are more of a sports fan than I am at this point, because I've been working in the industry for so long that I sort of pushed my fandom off to a point. What do you think? Is this one of those things where it's a forgiven thing
to make a decision like this, that you should be forgiven immediately like this.
Well, I have a feeling that the reason why the Cleveland fans have decided to forgive him is because the city of Cleveland is going on, what, 50 years without a championship? And obviously, if you look at all the odds makers, not saying that odds makers are the ones who determine who wins championships, but yesterday the Cleveland Cavaliers were at 60-1, and today they are now the odds-on favorite at 4-1. When it's someone who, and again, I think that with it being his hometown, I know he's from Akron, not Cleveland. They're about an hour away from each other, but the Northeast Ohio is home to him.
Half hour.
No, believe me, it's about an hour. I mapped it out because I will be attending the NFL Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony the first weekend in August. We will see Walter Jones. I'm sorry?
Is it finally putting you in?
Yeah, I mean, into the broadcaster's wing, of course.
Yeah.
Because they must have gotten all the tapes of me turning down the volume when I was 6 years old and doing all the play-by-play. So they're finally putting me in, along with Walter Jones, Derek Brooks, Andre Reed, Michael Strahan, and the first ever punter to get into the Hall of Fame, Ray Guy. But yeah, one of the things that I looked for was because I want to do the NFL Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the same weekend. They're about an hour apart from each other. But with that being said, LeBron James, that's where he's from. If it were some random other city that, like, if he were from Portland, Oregon, I don't think the Love Fest would be as great as it is, but since he is coming quote unquote home, and I really hope that we don't hear on ESPN the whole "I'm coming home" like we heard in the New York area every time when Carmelo Anthony was traded to the Knicks from Denver.
Brian, I'm going to close up shop with this one tonight. I think at the end of the day, LeBron James had a real tough decision to make. And I said this before you came on the air, and I firmly believe this. I think that the time in Miami wore him down. He had to be strong, and he had to face everything head on. So before we do, let's welcome in Mr. I-95 Sports Radio himself, Mr. Bobby Blackjack. Bobby, how are you tonight?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. It's obviously Randy Zellia, Ryan Stern for Real Sports Talk Radio. Mike Tramitozzi had to step out. Real quick, let's get your response to LeBron James coming back to the Miami – I mean, leaving the Miami Heat, going back to the Cleveland Cavaliers. What was your take on it?
I sort of I don't say I called it because it was a pretty decent shot he was going there. But I think he just had a feeling after, you know, how they lost the Spurs and, you know, the fashion they lost to the Spurs to an older team with some younger components. He had a feeling that he was done with the whole experiment in Miami. I mean, 2-for-2, nothing to sneeze at, nothing to be embarrassed about. But, you know, I think now he can elevate. He wants to be Jordan so bad, and he'll never do it now with what 2-3 in the finals, I believe. But as God is, as Jordan is God to Chicago, he could do the same thing in Cleveland if he ever brought that city a championship. And I'm all day I'm thinking about this, watching all these ESPN and other reports. You got to wonder if Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, takes some edge off of LeBron as well, because he's no longer the biggest figure, the only big figure in the city. Now he has somebody sort of to deflect some of the spotlight from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. Like, you know, Bobby, I said this earlier in the show, and I fairly mean it. I feel like LeBron said in his letter that he sat up at the Boys and Girls Club in Connecticut, and he made a decision. It was almost like him going to college and then now coming back home. He missed home. You saw in those final days in Miami that it just was a wear and tear on him. Now he's back, and I said to Mike earlier tonight, I said to a lot of people earlier today, I'm hoping now that we're going to see the LeBron James of old, where LeBron will come out and do the tossing of the rosin in the air, to taking imaginary pictures with his teammates before the game, and most of all, look like he's enjoying the game of basketball. Because over the last 2 years, he really didn't seem like he was enjoying the game as much as he did from when he was in Cleveland.
That's certainly the case. And you know what? He gets a chance now with a lot less pressure on his shoulders. He has two rings, so he has something. Before, you know, that last year especially, or you know, when he lost to the Celtics and whatnot in the conference finals, he's, you know what, he has something now. He has something to build on. Before, it was just, you know, him trying to get to where he wanted to be. He's gotten there with the Miami Heat. Now he gets to go home and deliver that city a championship. I hasn't seen one in over 50 years. I'm excited for it. You know, I was a big fan of LeBron and the way he brought his, I'm sure I've mentioned a million times, the way he kept his teammates all part of the family, you know, building a business around them, with them. But then that whole decision thing, you know, like millions of people, millions of fans left a bad taste, and now he's going back. And I wish him success.
One other point about LeBron before I go into the Miami Heat side of this. I think the other part, too, which is very, very important, is everybody, the reports resonated this morning that LeBron had a real problem with the letter that was written back in 2010 of the whole situation. What I want to bring up the point was LeBron never really seemed to take responsibility for why that letter was written, because LeBron was a young age of 25 years old and found himself listening to a lot of people around him to make this decision of going to Miami and didn't take his share of the responsibility. And everybody pointed the finger at Dan Gilbert. The fact that they met and were able to hash things out. Do you feel now with the way LeBron and Cleveland is, and Ryan or Bobby, you can, either of you guys can chime in on this. Do you think now this will help not only the LeBron James brand, but this will help the NBA brand bring back some of the crowd that was turned off on LeBron James?
No, because I'll take the first one on this, because for any of you who have seen the movie Private Parts with the Howard Stern movie, there's one part of the movie where the radio executives are talking about the ratings, and people who hated Howard Stern actually listened to his show on a longer period of time on a daily basis than people who enjoyed, who are fans of Howard Stern. And I think that is what you saw with LeBron in Miami. I think the brand was at its highest because people who were turned off by what LeBron did were tuning in more often to hope that he lost rather than if they didn't care about the fact that he was in Cleveland.
And I think a lot of part of your question, I think, including myself, like I see the reaction. I saw the reaction on you know, Facebook, other pro athletes. I think this might re-energize the NBA fan base even more. I think NBA's on a big comeback now, past couple of years, and I think it's only going to add to it and make more fans want to watch. He has some great teams now. I think with him going to to Cleveland, you know, while the Western Conference is more dominant, more great teams, more great players, it evens out the East a little bit now. So now the Heat's not that dominant team anymore. So who knows if Indiana or Chicago or even Brooklyn can now maybe take a step forward, knowing that there's no real powerhouse on the Eastern Conference. That's only going to make the fan base that much more excited because more teams have a shot now.
Now, Randy, one thing that I want to ask of you, and I'm sure that you probably went over this earlier in your show. What do you think? I mean, obviously, it seems that he's going to a team that is probably deeper and more talented than the team that he just carried to the NBA Finals. Do you feel that what he's going into is a better situation? It's obviously a better situation than his first go-around with Cleveland. But do you think that he's going into a better situation now than he left behind in Miami?
Yes, I do. And here's why. If you look up and down what Miami had last year, it was extremely frustrating for LeBron from a standpoint. Mickey Arison and Pat Riley were trying to cut costs around. And they amnestied Mike Miller. He knew that Shane Battier was getting up there in age and was losing a little bit of its, you know, of his game. Ray Allen, same thing. You really couldn't rely on him as much. And they were bringing in talent for cheap. They got Michael Beasley on the cheap. They got Greg Oden on the cheap. Both of those guys contributed nothing. Mario Chalmers was on the on a milk carton during the NBA Finals. Nobody could find him or his game. It was just a really tough situation for LeBron because LeBron doesn't want to be the guy who has to carry a whole franchise on his back. That's why he originally left Cleveland in the first place. I think he looked at it and said, okay, I can opt out and I have to go 4 to 5 years. Where am I going to be 4 or 5 years from now? He looked at the Miami Heat and he said, okay, well, Bosch and Wade are both going to be older and we're not going to be getting much younger on this roster for guys for me to play with when I'm on the end of my prime. Then he looked at the Cleveland Cavaliers and said, okay, we have a bunch of young kids here where I can come in, I can still be the man for a little while, but I can make that transition and help bring up guys like Kyrie and Wiggins to be the next the torchbearers of this team. And I think that was very intriguing to him. Plus, I honestly do think that he was ready to be out of Miami. I think a lot of what he said in his letter was true. He wanted to be home. He missed it. His 4 years in Miami were like being in college. And I think the most important thing is the example that he set for a lot of younger people, that if people did you wrong, like he feels that Dan Gilbert did him wrong, he was able to work out everything, and now he's coming home. And if he wins the NBA championship this year with the Cavaliers, I think it might be the greatest story. Not, you know, I don't know how the quality of basketball is going to be, but I think it would be one of the best stories that the NBA has ever had. Now, Bobby, I know you want to chime on this too, but that's just how I feel with the whole thing.
Yeah, I can see that. Because Cleveland, like I mentioned before, Cleveland hasn't won 50-something years. They have a very loyal fan base to their teams. And, you know, him being from Akron, not too far from Cleveland, and I'm a Nets fan, but if they were playing the Nets, I'd be rooting for LeBron to do it. And hopefully after that, you get the Chicago Cubs curse done. So we're all done with the curses and the long losing streaks. But it could be a great story, really good.
Now, one thing that I was wondering, I'm not so sure if he definitely said that he was going to the Cavaliers. I do know that he said that he was going home. Now, with the whole Josh Gordon incident going on with the Browns. he's going to Cleveland to be the number one receiver for the Browns.
Oh, God.
He would be the number one receiver on that roster. I don't know if you've looked at that, but the rest of their receiving corps is garbage.
Well, let's move on from that comment and just go somewhere else. Listen, if you look down at Miami now, obviously Chris Bosh signs a ridiculous contract of $118 million for the 5-year max, and obviously there was a lot of talk of him going to Houston. I really, 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 really didn't like this move. From a basketball standpoint, Bosh being there would have made sense, but he really loves Miami. He loves being there. Miami is going to be no more than a 4 seed in the East this year. Going to be battling for a second round. I think the landscape of the league has changed, and I know we're getting short on time, but I know we have to talk about Carmelo Anthony as well. But just now, moving forward with Miami, either of you think that Miami can still be a competitor now for the Eastern Conference?
They'll be a playoff team, only because the East is just garbage. And, it really is going to be based on whether or not Dwayne, and all signs are pointing that Wade is going to come back. If Wade can stay healthy for more than half the season, they should be a playoff team because it's not that difficult to be a playoff team in the East. All you need to do is have pretty much 36 wins, and you're going to be in the playoffs in the East. With McRoberts, who is on his way up, they brought in Danny Granger. Bosh, who I've never been a Chris Bosh fan. I've always thought that he's been extremely overrated. But maybe he has a resurgence with having a larger role in the offense with no LeBron there. I can see them being a playoff team. I don't see them getting past the first round because I do think that there are at least 5 teams in the East who are better than the Heat, even if they do bring back Dwayne Wade.
Right now, I think the Eastern Conference, Indiana, and everybody else. Now, if Carmelo goes to the Bulls, that changes everything. But right now, it's Indiana, I think, is the best team in the conference. Right now, things can change. There's still more free agents out there and maneuvers to make. But I think the class is Indiana. It goes through them, and we'll see what happens afterwards. But like I said earlier, I think like teams like Chicago, the way it is, takes a step forward. The Nets are making moves. Very quietly, they're making moves and adding some players when everybody thought they were deadlocked for the next 2 years. I think the Paul Pierce move right now could be very intriguing because if he goes back to Brooklyn, you know, they have a legitimate shot now. But we'll see. You know, we'll see where he ends up signing. Carmelo goes to Chicago. I think then they're the class of the conference. But Indiana is right up there. So those are probably your 2 best teams right now, depending on where Carmelo goes. And we'll see how the pieces fall for 3, 4, and 5.
Well, I will. I'm glad you said Melo. We'll transition into the Melo Bulls situation. It's now the Knicks and the Bulls. And I'll be honest with you, from a basketball standpoint, it makes the most sense for Melo to be wearing the red and black.
Yes.
I know Ryan is a huge fan of the Garden and making sure the Garden teams are doing well because he's a Ranger fan. But I have to be very honest with you. If you're Carmelo Anthony, the way he's not looking at it compared to the way he should be looking at it, he should be looking at it as, okay, if now that LeBron is on Cleveland again, if I go here to Chicago, I have an opportunity for the next 3 to 4 years to be competing for a championship. Whereas if you stay with the Knicks, you're going to be constantly being told, all right, well, next year when we have cap room, we might be able to go do this, this, and this.
But the top five free agents they're talking about for the class of 2015 may not even make it to free agency. So with that being said, I do think the Chicago Bulls are the best opportunity for Melo to win an NBA championship.
Oh, that's – I don't think that's debatable. But there's what is it, about $50 million that
I think it's like
more
30,
that,
about, that, 40, about $40 million. I just want to get
$40 million. Dollars.
About $40 million difference.
So you're now talking about, and Carmelo Anthony isn't dumb, and I'm sure that he doesn't need that the extra $40 million because he may be able to earn it later on in his career. But you're now talking about a guaranteed $40 million more, which is going to set up your family two, three extra generations down the road. And I think that it's awfully tough to leave that much money, on guaranteed money, on the table. And, of course, the Bulls are the team that he's going to have the best chance to win a championship with. But again, this is now, it's almost the same situation like with LeBron. He's in the part of the country that he grew up in, and this is home to him, and I'm sure he loves it here. I don't necessarily think he's a great fit for Chicago's system. Whether or not Tom Thibodeau can get him to play defense is a question mark, because I don't think he has the same urgency that the rest of that roster plays with on that end of the floor. But I just, like I said, I think it's awfully difficult to, and I think it's $38 million that you would just leave on the table.
Yeah, and Melo has to make a decision on whether he wants to leave that type of money on the books.
Well, what it comes down to, guys, fellas, what it comes really down to, does he want to be Robinson Cano and chase the money, or does he go for the ring?
That's exactly the comparison that I was about to make. And the only difference is that Robinson Cano already has a ring, so I think that's what made it easier for him to take the money. Carmelo hasn't won anything. And
nope.
I know, Randy, you and I spoke earlier in the week. Is this going to be where he's now looked at as Patrick Ewing, as being one of the better Knicks of all time and doesn't win a championship? And unless they can find somebody in the 2015 offseason that will make the Knicks an instant contender, I don't see them anywhere near a championship run.
Now, the Knicks are nowhere near anything. I mean, to put your hopes on...
Well, they're near mediocrity.
Yeah.
Well, boys, well, first off, Bobby, let's pay some bills here. I-95 Sportsnet, talk to us on what's going on with it.
Well, I'm getting excited. The website, the shell of it is up. I'm hoping to have the player running the next day or so. New server being put together as we speak. It's going to allow us to have about five different stations running at once. I'll control from wherever, and you know, I'm glad to have you guys aboard. And, you know, Randy, I'm not sure if you saw the website yet. There's a page for you guys there for all your great articles and stuff you do with the pro athletes and their foundations and their charity work. So we're looking forward to really, you know, growing this thing together. And, you know, hopefully one day people will be watching us on TV talking, who knows, the next big trade 4 years, 4 or 5 years from now, the next big happening in sports.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. So definitely check out i95sportsnet.com. Then we also have Beyond the Benches this Sunday morning, correct?
Absolutely. We're going to have some LeBron talk, as that seems to be in a real dead period in sports, the main story. We are going to be starting our NFL divisional previews. Going to break down some teams as we get closer and closer to training camp, which is only about a week and a half away for the Giants and Bills, as they get to open up training camp a little earlier because they will be taking part in the Hall of Fame game, which Beyond the Bench will be live at the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony and the Hall of Fame game.
Bobby, I think you and I have to head over to Giants practice in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, they sent out the protocol, so we got to figure out how to, you know, navigate that little maze. We'll be there.
All right, boys. I want to thank you both for coming on tonight. Don't forget Real Sports Talk Radio live every Wednesday night, special occasion tonight, so we can come on and talk a little free agency. LeBron certainly kept us busy the last couple of days. For Bobby Blackjack, Ryan Stern, I'm Randy Zellia, Mike Trampatazzi, Real Sports Talk Radio. We'll see you next week. Thanks again, boys.
Thanks.
Have a good night.